Good to see this number out this morning. Good to have some visiting with us. I want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. I encourage you to take your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. Should you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. But if you find the truth has been taught, our prayer is that you'll make the proper application. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized upon your faith in Jesus and have every sin washed away, blotted out by the blood of Jesus, be added to the family of God, enjoy every spiritual blessing as a child of God. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of John and the 19th chapter. Now, when you come to the book of John and the 19th chapter, read with me two verses for the thought of our study. Look with me beginning at verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. You know, sometimes preachers have a difficult time selecting a lesson that people need. However, at this particular time, I believe what we want to talk about is a subject that all need to hear. And the lesson that I have in mind to deliver at this occasion is a difficult lesson to preach. And to be honest, it might be one difficult to listen to. But I want to talk to you from the book of John and the 19th chapter, and what you might describe as Death Day. The day that they took Jesus and they nailed him to the cross. And I fail to see how one can read the Bible and read about this event and their heart not be touched. When they took the Son of God and nailed him to the cross. And what I suggest this morning is that you put yourself back at this time and try to be an eyewitness. Just try to picture in your mind what they did to Jesus. Just try to imagine standing there that day and look at the cross through fresh eyes. Don't let prior study keep you from looking with fresh eyes at what they did to the Son of the Living God on what we might call Death Day. The first thing I want us to think about is the one they put to death. And we need to consider that it was Jesus, the one born of a virgin, the one that was given to us by God the Father, and He was both God and man. And when you read your Bible, you'll find in the book of John and the 19th chapter that Jesus was one that was faultless. Here you find in verse 6 where even Pilate, at the latter part, after they had called out to crucify Him, said, I find no fault in Him. When you look at Jesus on this occasion, I want you to recognize that the people are wanting to put Him to death. And here is Pilate, who is not what you might identify as a moral man, who is probably very vile in his lifestyle. And yet at the same time, he looked at Jesus and said, I do not find any fault in Him. I want you to think for just a moment of time that here is Pilate proclaiming the innocence of Jesus. But notice the people there. Why are they there? And why is Jesus there? It's because of the hatred and envy of the hearts of the people. And this makes things even worse as you read the verses that there was Jesus and there was no fault in Him. It had been one thing if He was worthy of death, but here is Jesus who was sinless in every way, who lived according to the will of the Father, and yet they want to crucify Him. Can you imagine being there that day, and Pilate, who was not even a Jew, who did not even believe in the Messiah, who probably had no belief in Yahweh, and yet he said, I find no fault in Him. And yet the people said, we want Him put to death. Now let that go in your mind and try to imagine standing in that audience as the mob yelled out, crucify Him, crucify Him. But then I want you to think about a second thing. In your Bible, in the book of John in the 19th chapter, I want you to think about where they take Jesus. And I'll tell you, my friend, this is the part that is most difficult to preach or to hear. When you think about the fact that they are going to beat Him and crucify Him. However, God has placed upon the responsibility of men to preach about Christ and Him crucified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice what Paul said in verse 2. When the Apostle Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, my friend, we want to note some things involving the death of Jesus. First of all, on death day, take note that they took and beat the Son of God. In your Bible, in the book of John, in the 19th chapter, look at verses 1 and 2. And notice the Bible said they scourged Him. Underscore that word scourged and recognize that that was a cat of nine tails coming down and tearing the flesh of Jesus. That was not just some minor beating, but that was one that would often kill an individual. Then look at verse 2, where the soldiers in their mockery twist a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and they put on Him a purple robe, and they said, Hail, King of the Jews, and struck Him with their hands. I want you to think about Jesus being beaten. Can you just not imagine being there for a moment and seeing the cat of nine tails coming down upon the back of Jesus and on the body of Jesus and the blood just flowing freely? Can you not picture in your mind when they took the crown of thorns and placed it upon His brow and the blood began to flow down from His head? And can you not put in your mind when they beat Him and mocked Him and said, Hail, King of the Jews, prophesy who hit you. Oh, I would that I could put into the heart of men and women how they treated Jesus that day. This is a true story, not some fictitious story. But that brings up something else. We read where Jesus was carried up Calvary's cross. I want you to think about as He took up the cross and went up Calvary's hill. Can you imagine the weight as He carried the beam of that cross up the hill called Golgotha? And can you picture in your mind the people standing by in a line watching Jesus and the other two, and they're mocking them and belittling them? And there is the Son of God carrying the beam, and He's walking up a Calvary hill to die for man. Oh, my friend, can you imagine after being beaten and everything that He faced, carrying that load up the hill? But I'll tell you, my friend, what was even more heavy on Him was not that beam, but the sins He's carrying up that hill, yours and I, mine. But then take your Bible and notice in the book of John in the 19th chapter, the place where they crucified the Lord was called the place of the skull. And there are many different views about this place, but it was for sure a public place where people could see the one suffer. The people coming in at that time for the Passover would watch and see these individuals as they're up on a cross. And they might have looked at the one in the center and said, what's he doing there? And I want you to think about, my friend, it was an obscene place. Sometimes we get in our mind that Jesus was there and we seem fully clothed. But if you read in John 19, 23 and 24, they removed the inner and outer garments. They put Him to an open shame. Can you imagine the pain and the shame Jesus endured? Can you imagine what Jesus was facing at that time? And I want you to think about, my friend, as Jesus is enduring all that, there stood His mother. Oh, I'll tell you, can you imagine as Jesus looked down at His mother? The one that kissed Him as a baby. And now He looks down at her and He sees her pain. And notice in your Bible in the book of John in the 19th chapter on death day what Jesus says in verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, Woman, behold your son. Then He said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. I want you to think about my friend at that time. She might have went to stay with John. But also at that time, He's saying, Get her away from this sight. Because it was an obscene shame her son was having to go through. And that's the kind of death that Jesus was having to die. That was death day for Jesus. And the people that hated Him, the people who were envious, got what they wanted. But that brings up something else in our study. Open your Bible back to John 19 and look at verse 34. After Jesus had already died upon the cross and they'd come and broken the legs of the two thieves, notice when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs, and that fulfilled the prophecy of old. But notice what one did in verse 34. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Now, much has been written about the fact that blood and water came out, but one thing is for sure, this is a picture to let us know that Jesus is dead. Have you ever thought, my friend, that they made sure he was dead? There was no doubt in the mind of those Roman soldiers after they pierced the heart of Jesus that he was dead. And I would that we understand that Jesus had died upon the cross, and this reveals the human side of Jesus. And we must never forget, my friend, that Jesus literally died. But I want you to think about before he died. The words he said, "It is finished." Now keep that word upon your mind. The laborious task is now over. Redemption, purchasing man back from sin, has been paid for. Can you not picture in your mind this morning death day for Jesus? And can you not hear Jesus say, "It is finished. I have completed the work my Father has sent me to do so that man may be saved." But then if you take your Bible back to John 19, look, notice something else on death day in verses 38 and 39. After Jesus had died, notice Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Can you imagine what that body looked like when they brought that body off that cross? Can you imagine when they pulled the nails out of the hand to look at the face of Jesus that was blood-stained? To look at the body that had poured forth blood? And as they brought that body down, and as they prepared that body, I want you to take note, my friend, there was men who found courage. Here was Joseph of Arimathea, who at one time was a secret disciple, but now he comes to Pilate, and he could have been put to death for his request, but he asked for the body of Jesus. And notice Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night. And now he comes in daytime saying that he's going to bury the Son of God with Joseph of Arimathea. Now many of the disciples ran for cover at that time. Have you ever thought, my friend, when you truly believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, you will find courage. Open your Bible kindly to the book of 1 Peter and notice what Peter had to say in 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and look at what he said in verse 16. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. I like that statement. Many times we run from persecution, but notice these individuals took courage because they believed that Jesus was the Christ. But that brings up one last thought for our study. Have you ever thought about the resurrection? It's one thing to see death day, but I want you never to stop at death day, but remember that on the first day of the week, Jesus arose out of the tomb. Open your Bible back to the book of John and notice in the 20th chapter, in verse 1, when the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Why? Jesus had been raised from the dead. Open your Bible again kindly, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice with me what Paul said about the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if, there's the condition, you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul makes his appeal to Scriptures, and he says Jesus was raised from the dead. Now then, take your Bible and turn to the Roman letter and the sixth chapter. In Romans chapter 6, notice, my friend, what we do when we become children of God. We are buried with Him, he says in verse 4, through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Jesus died, was buried, and raised. When one is baptized, what do? They die to self, they're buried, and they're raised to walk in newness of life. They're raised to be a child of God. They've crucified the old man, they've buried him, and they're raised up as a child of God. And then drop down and notice what he says, if you will, kindly, in the Roman letter and the sixth chapter, in verse 17 and 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed, obeyed, from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You know, my friend, when you look at death day, you see the Lamb of God dying to take away our sin. But when you look at resurrection day, you see the Son of God being raised by the power of God to reign as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to be at the right hand of God. And I'll tell you something, my friend. Don't ever leave Him in that grave. He arose. This is the one who died for you and me. And I want you to recognize this is one sermon that all of us need. Because all of us are guilty of sin. And what we need to do is go back and look at the Lamb who died for us and see what Jesus was willing to do to save you from your sin. Look at what Jesus was willing to do, that He would leave the glory of heaven and come as a man, though He was God, and He'd be willing to live a life of poverty and He would be willing to live a life filled with temptation and endure all things that man has endured, and yet without sin. And then knowing that one day He would go to a cross, He does go to a cross. And though He had the power to call legions of angels to take Him down from the cross, He said, you know what? I love you enough to die for you. And then He was raised from the dead. I'll tell you something. If that doesn't touch your heart, then you need to re-examine your heart. Because I'll tell you something. There's no greater love than the love Jesus has for you. There's no greater love than for Jesus to suffer willfully as the Lamb of God to take away your sin. And I'll tell you something. If I never preach another sermon and you never hear another sermon, I just assume this will be the one you hear and you recognize just how much God loves you. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I come to you preaching Christ and Him crucified. And I'll tell you something, my friend. When you look at the cross, you see God's love for you. And if you need to be baptized this morning to have your sins blotted out and need to be raised up to walk in newness of life, our prayer is you do so this very morning as together we stand and sing.